Let me try to put some things in perspective. I spent a decade in the legal services program, which provides lawyers for the poor, first as a storefront lawyer, then in the management of programs or running a clinic. One of the recurring issues we used to debate was whether to focus on what we called band-aids or systemic change. Band-aids were individual relief for individual clients, generally much easier to get, but taking quite a lot of time for the few people we could help. It was important work, very satisfying and very frustrating at the same time because we could never make a dent in the needs most of our clients had that way. Systemic change meant getting relief for lots of people at once, sometimes in a groundbreaking suit, sometimes in a class action, sometimes by lobbying. I handled a case in St. Louis that established a tenant's right to be free of lead paint in her apartment. Research shows a substantial relationship between getting lead paint in one's veins and one's IQ, success in school, propensity for violence and crime, and life chances in general. That was an effort to make systemic change. That, too, can be frustrating. I'm not sure how many people were able to take advantage of our, quote, victory. But evidence backs up the significance of that decision, the importance of switching off leaded gas, and the cleanup we still have to do. Congress didn't like systemic change. And for decades, it tightened the screws on what legal services lawyers could do for their clients. A classmate of mine ran what we called a backup center in the legal services program, but he eventually took his center out of the program and got private support to keep it going so that it wouldn't have to live within those restrictions. I took my students to see the argument in one case in which the U.S. Supreme Court decided, in an opinion by Justice Anthony Kennedy, that Congress had turned the screws too far. But outside of the tax code, everything is a band-aid. The tax code determines where the money is and what it's available for. We could tackle lead paint the way we tackle clean water, but, quote, there's no money. We could provide everyone with a useful education, but, quote, there's no money. We could invest in the kind of fundamental research that made this country so successful in the 20th century, and we could take care of the unemployed, but, quote, there's no money. We could take care of the environment to protect ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, but, quote, there's no money. Of course, that's a trope. There used to be enough to do the things we need, but politicians following Reagan started to claim that government was the problem and whatever it touched was bad. Another generation following the two Bushes insisted that we could solve all problems by cutting taxes. Now that we didn't, quote, have the money, public policy became a battle among ordinary people fighting for the crumbs, a game of let's you and him fight. But of course, the big winners were in the audience, those with the hugest fortunes who could just laugh at everyone else's pain. And lest we complain, they met that with another trope, that they were, quote, job creators, when in fact, they did everything else with their increasingly useless wealth but create jobs. Let me be clear that sensible tax policy is much more difficult at the state and local level than nationally. But we must tackle it, or we'll all drown together.